Good afternoon, brothers. I am a sister. A great fan to read Word of God and study Word of God and examine our hearts, where we are. And even though we are studying many things, we know many things in the Bible, but when we don't have a deep relationship with Jesus, then everything will fall. So today I'm not going to preach from Titus, but I'm going to preach the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 19 to 34. The theme of the passage which I have given is testifying of the great Jesus. Testifying the great Jesus. One of the primary work of preachers and teachers is testifying Jesus Christ in our sermons, proclaiming Christ, testifying Jesus to unbelievers, to the people who are confused because of force which is produced by Satan. You know, are you thinking how the Satan is working? He is taking food and mixing with the other and taking people away from the gospel. God can save only through the word of God, which is testifying about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Nowadays, we have heard many testimonies in church, in many meetings. A real example I can give you. One lady has come forward. I went to preach in that church. She came forward. She was given an opportunity to share testimony. She stood. She said like this: "I was so upset. I am so sad because my girlfriend, she is having motion problem. She is not able to give milk. But I am praying to God. God heard my prayer. So motion problem is over." So Buffalo is very funny. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is my testimony." She went and sat down. So people think about testimony is something like, "I have cold. So God can come forward and say, I have leg pain. I have some this issue, that issue. God heal me." Even preachers, they are proclaiming word, but testimony is those things. Like everything is connected to prosperity gospel. So God has done this one, God has done this one. Many times, small things, they will testify like that. God is doing that one. Jesus has done that one. So one day, I have chosen this passage to teach them what is testimony. How we can testify in Jesus. We heard many times, right, when people are taking baptism, they testify about Jesus, they confess Jesus, they explain who Jesus is. But in this passage, we can see a real example, that is the testimony of John the Baptist, how he testified the great Jesus. Please turn with me, John Gospel chapter 1, verse 19 to 34. So verse 19, he says, this is the testimony of John, the John the Baptist. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed, did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Then he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about Elizabeth?" He said, "I am the voice of the one who crying in the wilderness. They strike the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." Verse 24. Now they had been sent from Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things I took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, actual testimony starts here. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of the heaven, and he remained upon me. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. If you read this passage, you can clearly understand, brothers and sisters, this is the testimony about Jesus. Telling about buffalo, milk, and cold, sickness, this is not about testimony about Jesus. The testimony about Jesus is testimony of John the Baptist, how he is testifying. Even you can see testifying the great Jesus, because verse 19 itself it says, this is the testimony of John. Look at verse 32. It says, John testified. Look at verse 34. I myself have seen, have testified that this is the Son of God. You see, he is repeat three times, you can see that word, testifying. This is the testimony of John. So it is very clear, evidence that we need to testify Jesus in this way, not in our own way. Even though you're pastors, right? When you go back, people will come forward, they will tell about Jesus many things, but you should have a standard of testimony. What they are going to testify, what you are going to testify about Jesus in your sermon, it will help us. We see the meaning of this word, testifying, is confirmation. On the basis of personal knowledge, on the basis of personal belief, confirmation, that is called testifying. This is a human testimony concerning Jesus. So here, John the Baptist is confirming the basis personal knowledge about Jesus. He is conforming to his belief about Jesus. Especially this word refers to evangelistic witness to the nature and significance of Christ. John the Baptist is standing here, he is witnessing the nature and significance of Christ. When you are testifying about Christ, you need to explain, confirm the nature, significance of the person of Jesus Christ. If you are testifying, confirming, speaking something else, that is not testimony. That is not testimony. You know that one. Well, look at verse 27. He's great, Jesus. He's great. Verse 27, it says, look at verse 27. John the Baptist says that it is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Look at verse 29. Pardon me. Behold, the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Then verse 30. He said, he existed before me. Look at verse 34. He says that this is the Son of God. So in his testimony, he can see very clearly Jesus is great. He is great God. He is great. He explains many things. That's why the theme of this passage, this narrative, which I have given, is testifying the great Jesus. Not only John the Baptist testified of nature and person of Jesus Christ. Many were testifying about Jesus Christ in the past. You remember the witness of two prophets in Revelation? Because of their testimony about Jesus, they will die. Then John Apostle testifies who Jesus is in John Gospel chapter 19, verse 35. He says, "He who has seen has testified." So he is speaking about himself. His testimony is true. He knows that he is telling the truth so that you also may believe. John Apostle is testifying Jesus. Not only John, Paul testified of Jesus, entire his life, had done three missionary journeys to testify Jesus' nature and his person to Gentiles. Even God the Father testifies Jesus, right? John Gospel chapter 5 verse 32 says, "There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true." God the Father is testifying about Jesus. Apostles were testifying about Jesus. Even Jesus himself testifies about himself, who he is. He explained John Gospel chapter 3 verse 11. So all godly men are testifying who Jesus is. They're explaining their belief about who Jesus is. Here we have three attitudes of one who testifies Jesus greatly. First attitude of one who testifies Jesus greatly is confessing his being in his testimony. Confessing his being in his testimony. Here, John the Baptist is confessing who he is really. When you are testifying, you should know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you cannot testify Jesus greatly. Verse 19 onwards, we see that narrative, right? The priests and Levites from Jerusalem came to ask him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am not Christ." He said, "I am not Elijah." He said, "I am not prophet, the prophet." Here we see two things that he confesses about his being. The first thing that he confesses about his being is, he confesses who he is not. He confesses who he is not. Verse 19 to 21. He said that he is not the Christ. Verse 20, it says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." Confess means to say the same thing as another, to agree with, to declare. John the Baptist agrees with God. He says the same thing as God said. God said, John the Baptist is not Christ. He is something else. That's why he is agreeing with God. John knew who he was, his role to do. The same chapter, verse 33, says, "I did not recognize him, but he who has sent me to baptize in water." So he knew that God had sent him to baptize in water. He knew who he was. He agreed with God that he came to baptize in water. But what was written about him in verse 23, he did not deny those. But he confessed, "He is not Christ. He is not Christ." Christ is Messiah, anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one who can come to the world, who came to the world to do the will of God, to save many sinners, That's what he said. "I am not Christ. I am not Christ who saves people. Only Christ saves." You know, many preachers, they think they are like equal to Christ, right? Even though they won't say, "I am Christ," but they behave, they are equal to Christ. How they do the church, how they think about themselves, how they use their authority, it looks like they are equal to Christ. Sometimes even pastor says, "I save many people." You cannot save. You are not Christ, whom sent by God. You are just man. You are just sinful man, which is useful by God. You are a tool. But no, people are acting. But John the Baptist, he said, "I'm not Christ. I'm not saving anybody else." Not only he said he is not the Christ, he confessed he is not the Elijah. Which is very tricky one. Look at verse 21 says, they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it is said that Elijah would be the forerunner of Messiah. Jesus says, John the Baptist is Elijah. But here he is saying, "I am not Elijah." But even Jesus says he is Elijah. Matthew chapter 11, verse 14 says, "And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come." Mark chapter 9, verse 13, "But we say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him." Other verses also, Jesus confirms that John the Baptist is Elijah. Elijah in the sense he is not Elijah, but he performed the function of Elijah. But I was thinking, I'm studying about this matter. He was Elijah, Jesus himself is saying that. But I was reading Net Bible. It explains like this. That person explains, that commentary says that the Synoptic Gospels represents Jesus as identifying, comparing John the Baptist with Elijah. But in this gospel, John the Baptist rejects the identification when it is offered to him by priests and Levites. The idea is the Baptist, John the Baptist, humbly rejects the exalted title. Humbly rejects exalted title. But Jesus, on contrary, bestows it on him. He says that comment says, why should not the two both be correct? He knows that he's functioning as Elijah, but not he humbly rejected exalted title. He knows that who Elijah is, who has done great things for God, but he said, "I am not Elijah." He humbly rejected their point. He's confessing who he is not by humble behavior. The third one, he said, he is not the prophet. Look at verse 21. "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." This is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him." Verse 18, "I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. And I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I commanded him." According to Acts chapter 3, 22 and 23, this applies to Jesus Christ. The Moses is talking about Jesus Christ. This is prophecy about the great prophet, Jesus Christ. So he said, "I am not the prophet." So he said, "I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." The second thing that he confesses about his being is he confesses who he is. He confesses who he is. He said he is a voice. He is a voice. Look at verse 22. Then they said to him, "Who are you?" "We may give an answer to those who have sent us. What do you say about yourselves?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness." He is not an important person. He testified about himself, "I am a voice. Even I am not a person. I am a voice." Like prophet. He is not prophet. He is not Messiah. He is not Christ. He is voice of God. He is voice of God. He is no more than voice. He is a just voice. Just voice. Great implication, right? Even for ourselves. We should think ourselves as a voice of God. Voice of God. We should not think They are most important persons. Then he says about himself, he confesses about himself, he prepares the way of the Lord. He continues to say that, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. John emphasized his humility and subordinate role. He was a laborer preparing the road in advance of the king. It is a simple idea what the author is saying here. If chief minister comes to the village, what will happen? Officers make sure the roads are smooth and neat. They will make ramps and paths. They will straighten the broken roads. If any pits are there, they will make straight road. If even any trees are coming ahead to the vehicle, they will cut up those trees. So John the Baptist is an officer making the road straight, which means a call to be ready for the coming of Messiah is near. Messiah is near. He was making people ready for the coming of the Messiah. This is talking about preparation through repentance. He is preaching the gospel. He is preaching the repentance. People are repenting, coming to the Lord, knowing the Lord. You will see how he prepares the way to the Lord in these verses. Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. So he began saying, John the Baptist began to say to the crowds who are going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come? Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire." He is preaching repentance. That's what he is preparing. That in this way, he is preparing, making the way for the Lord. When Jesus comes, everybody will turn to him, believe in him. That is his job. Brothers, do you confess who you are? You must be wise of God. You are not a very important person. Accept that you are nothing. Even though you are preaching and teaching, even though you have authority in your church one day, even now, you need to prepare the way to people so that they can see Christ, they can trust in Christ through your preaching. Are you leading people to repentance through your preaching? Whenever you preach, you are preaching verse by verse, book by book. When sin is coming, you should not preach very smoothly. You should not skip that verse. You need to preach. People should repent on their sins. That's what John the Baptist is doing there. But John the Baptist, he is preparing way for Jesus for first coming. But no, we are almost like we are preparing. We are preaching the word of God so that people may trust in him before he comes second time. Almost we are imitating John the Baptist. Almost we are doing same job, brothers. So think about yourself. Confess who you are. Confess who you are not. That is very important in your testimony. Even though when people are taking baptism, they confess, right? I am not a good person. I am not a great person. It should come in our testimony. The second attitude of one who testifies Jesus greatly is humbling himself in his testimony. Verse 24 to 28. Humbling himself in his testimony. You see, verse 24 onwards. Then they had been sent from Pharisees. They asked him, said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Did you see his humility before Christ? He is humbling himself in his testimony. Two aspects of his humility we can see in this passage, in this verses. The first aspect of his humility is he humbles himself through his speeches. He humbles himself through his speech. When you are sharing testimony, when you are speaking about Christ, you should be humble. You should show yourself that you are a humble person. You are not great. Look at the word he said, worthy. I am not worthy to untie, he said, right? The meaning of the word worthy means to being correspondingly fitting, appropriate. You can say appropriate, deserving. It also known as good enough. But John the Baptist is saying that negatively. He says that I am not being correspondingly fitting to untie the thong of Jesus' sandal. He says that I am not good enough to untie the thong of Jesus' sandal. But saying I am good enough, he is not saying I am good enough. He is not saying I am great. I am the person who can untie the thong of Jesus' sandal. But he's saying, I am not worthy to untie. Untying the thong of the sandal was the work of slaves in those countries. Slave will untie the shoe of the master. But no, he is saying, I am not worthy to be a slave of Jesus. See how great humility he has. We think ourselves as bosses, right? To ourselves and how we behave like with others, controlling, and we think that we are great people, we are bosses, we have authority. See, look at when you meet Jesus, your life will be changed. You cannot say that I am a great person. You will say that I am not equal to slaves. I am not worthy to be a slave of Jesus. That's what he is saying. He is not worthy before Jesus because Jesus is holy God. Holy God. John the Baptist is a sinner, as you and me, who is not fit to stand before me. This is the idea that John the Baptist also humbled himself because of his sinful nature before the holy, holy, holy. He is testifying about Christ, but he understood Jesus Christ is holy God. Holy God. I am not able to stand in front of him. I cannot be a slave of a holy God. He is so holy. That humbleness should come when you are testifying here. Brothers, what are you thinking about yourself? Who you are in front of Jesus? You are great in front of men. You have all great wisdom, you have riches, you have many things to boast about yourself. Yes, you are great in front of men, but you are not great in front of Holy God. You are just sinner. Just sinner. Think right when people are sharing of the gospel, they say, I am a rich person, God saved me. You are not a rich person, you are a sinner, people of Christ. He saved me from your sins. That humility should come. Why he is saying? Because he is a sinner. He is facing the Holy God. That is Jesus. This is the same thought Simon Peter says. Peter says in Luke chapter 5 verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, look at his, listen his words. Go away from the Lord. For I am a sinful man. Go away from me. Why you are standing in front of me? I will not be able to stand in presence of you. Go away from me. I am a sinful man. The same response, right? How John the Baptist responded. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5. Isaiah said, woe to me, for I am a queen, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. Everyone who faces Jesus Christ confesses they are useless people, they are unworthy people in front of Holy Jesus, Holy God. They were humble before themselves. when they saw the holy God, Jesus Christ. Whenever you are preaching about him in his presence, you should feel you are a sinner, unworthy to serve him. So what are the prideful attitudes that even we have, preachers, those who are testifying about Jesus, feeling bad and having bitterness if you are not getting great responsibility in the church? Maybe you go and assist with one pastor, maybe you are not getting many responsibility, you're feeling bad, I am not recognized. You deserve to be go to hell, right? You deserve hell. But God saved you. Don't feel you are so important person. Be humble yourself. If you think you are a sinner, you have great privilege to serve him in small way, you cannot crumble before him. See Christ's glory, his church edification, even if you are being hurt. Be humble yourself. When you are decreased, humiliated by people, church, I know you will face one day. If you enter a real practical church ministry, you know, you will see those practical and hatred toward you. That time you should not feel bad. You should not attack them. Be humble yourself. Then run to Christ. And think about John the Baptist. I am not worthy to serve Jesus. Then everything will come in place. The second aspect of his humility is, the first aspect, he humbled himself through his speech. Second aspect of his humility is he humbles himself in public. In public. Look at verse 28. These things took place in Bethany, behold the Jordan, behind the Jordan, sorry, where John was baptizing. He confessing. He is humbling himself in public. Everyone is watching. He is exalting Christ. I am not worthy to enter his shoes. He's exalting Christ in public. But so many preachers, so many Christians, they exalt themselves while they are exalting Jesus. Did you see how they exalt, how they tell about their talents, how they express about their gift, how they tell indirectly, how great they are? Do those things. When you are exalting Christ, when you are humbling yourself, you should humble even in your public speech. Publicly, you should humble yourself in front of Jesus. That's what he is doing. Brothers, if you don't have humble attitude, you can't testify Jesus greatly. Because you know, one great person cannot exalt another great person, right? Only humble person can exalt great person. If both are equal, why I should exalt him? I cannot exalt him. If I think myself very lowly, if I think myself, I am a sinner, he saved me, then I will exalt him. That's the idea. We move on. The third attitude of one who testifies about Jesus greatly is exalting Jesus in his testimony. Not only confesses who he is, not only humbling himself in his testimony, and also exalting Jesus in his testimony. Because Jesus, he is great God, great God. We are going to see that. Verse 29 onwards. Here four great titles of Jesus to exalt him in our testimonies. The first great title of Jesus to exalt him is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Look at verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Many crowds are there. He is shouting. He said, behold, there is an urgency. He is exalting. Behold, all you all, please look at that person. Somebody is coming. Who he is? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold is referring that the John the Baptist wants the people
must see Jesus as Lamb of God. That is his desire. The idea is this is the God-given lamb. The lamb belongs to God. The lamb is owned by God. John the Baptist is testifying that lamb is owned by God. God has given his own son, own lamb. That is the idea in Greek. He is not somebody else. He belongs to God. He is owned by God. His own son, he has given. The lamb is coming to you. God sent his lamb to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is very unique, brothers, in this sense. Even though people say there are many gods in the world, billions of gods, but there is only one God who takes away our sins. You never find any God who takes away our sins. Only one God, that is Jesus, who takes away sins of the world. That means he is true God. He has concern about sinners. He has concern about his people. He wants to save his people from their sins. The world takes away the sins of the world. We were meditating 1 John, right? 1 John. The world is not talking about individual person. It is talking about mankind. But men and women whom he has chosen before the foundation of the world, their sin he is taking away. Those who trust in him, their sin he is taking away. Okay, the word sin, the basic meaning is failing to observe the requirements of holy living, fall short of spiritual wholeness, being less than acceptable to God, fail to observe God's law, missing the way from God. The basic meaning is missing the mark. Missing the mark. The idea is the world failed to observe the requirement of holy living. The world being less than acceptable to God. The world failed to observe God's law. God sent his lamb to take away the sins that belongs to the world. Sins of the world. The lamb belongs to God the Father. The sin belongs to the world. We own our sins. The world filled with the sins. And look at the phrase, take away. Take away meaning is to bear away what has been raised. Carry. To move from one place to another place. It has a meaning bearing of penalty, to remove by punishment, to remove the guilty punishment of sin, to cause that sin be neither imputed nor punished. That is the idea. Jesus is moving punishment which is upon sinners from its place. But he placed on himself. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In what the lamb is sacrificed to God, right? Because of someone's sin, actually, that sinner has to die. But the blameless animal was in the place of sinner because sin has to be punished. Whenever one person is taking lamb or any animal to sacrifice to God, so whenever he sacrifices that animal, he has to think, I have to die in that place. But lamb is dying, blameless lamb is dying. But ultimately, it is showing ultimate lamb of God. That is Jesus Christ. That is the reason why God gave them commandments to sacrifice animals. One day, Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, is going to die in sinner's place. He reminds Israel. They all are waiting, right? Are you waiting for Christ to save you from your sins? Are you praying for Messiah? Are you waiting for Messiah? He said, behold, God has sent him already. He is coming. Look at him. That is called testimony. In your testimony, in your preaching, you need to exalt the Lamb of God who takes away sins of sinners. Even Spurgeon says, all my hope lies in this, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I am a sinner. I trust him. Then he came to save me. I am saved. I am saved. When you are testifying like this, people will say that I am a sinner. I am saved because of Christ. He came to save me as a Lamb of God. Brothers, no man can reach God because we all are sinners. But God made the way to him through Jesus' death. The way is the death of Jesus on the cross. You can't take your sins. You can't bear your sins. The only way you are saved because of the Lamb of God. He take away all your sins. He took your sins. He bore. He died on the cross. The great testimony, right? How he is explaining about Jesus. The second great title of Jesus to exalt him is the pre-existent God. The pre-existent God. Look at verse 13. It says, This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. If you read this verse, it is very funny, right? Who born first? John the Baptist or Jesus? John the Baptist born 6 months elder than Jesus, but he's saying he existed before me. It shows that he is giving on title. He is justifying Jesus as pre-existed God. He is not born. He existed before his birth. Before Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. The simple meaning is God promised that one day ruler in Israel will go forth through Bethlehem. This is talking about birth of Jesus. Then he said that who he is. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. God said that the one who will go forth through Bethlehem is eternal. He existed eternally. He existed eternally. One day my brother asked me, he is not a believer. He said, why did you believe in Jesus? Who came recently? He said, did you leave your mom and dad who gave birth to you? That means whom he is trusting by choosing him. He believes that Jesus came before 2,000 years ago. Many unbelievers, they believe that Jesus is born 2,000 years ago. But John the Baptist is testifying about Jesus. He is pre-existed God. Pre-existed God. Bible is clearly testifying about this truth. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 15. And chapter 3, verse 17, it says, for God did not send the Son into the world. God sent the Son into the world. Chapter 3, verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. 3:17, John Gospel 3:17, no one has ascended into the heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. John Gospel chapter 6, verse 33 says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven. These scriptures are testifying that his origin was in heaven. He is pre-existed one. Many scriptures say he pre-existed God. The third great title of Jesus to exalt him is the one who can baptize in the Spirit. the one who can baptize in the Spirit. Look at verse 31 to 33. It says, I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified and saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as dove out of heaven. He remained upon him. The dove is also the sign of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in appearing at Jesus' baptism, took the form of dove, dove-like descendant. So it is not talking about the Holy Spirit is dove. Holy Spirit descended like dove. That is the idea. Only John could see it, not all. This is a supernatural miracle because of the promise, right? This is the promise and identification to John by God to recognize the Son of God. So that is the promise. That is the identification. When John the Baptist sees the Holy Spirit descending like dove, he has to recognize this is the Son of God. For that reason, God has done supernatural miracle. So John the Baptist has seen them. Then verse 33 says, I did not recognize him. He who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending, remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? I am not discussing about baptism of John the Baptist. It is like image, representation of purification in the rejection of sin, reorientation toward God in ethical reform. That is the significance of John the Baptist. But what does it mean? One who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes personal association with the Holy Spirit. That is the idea. Baptism refers to filling richly with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who creates relationship with the Spirit. So he creates relationship between sinner and the Holy Spirit. This is talking about salvation. There is no salvation without new birth, right? Who is giving new birth? The Holy Spirit. If you are born again, that means Jesus baptized you already in the Spirit. So that is the meaning. He's explaining that if you want to save, if you want to fill with the Holy Spirit to born again, the main person is Jesus Christ. He does. The title he has given. The fourth great title of Jesus to exalt him is, he is not only Lamb of God, he is not only the pre-existent God, he is not only the one who baptized in the Spirit, and also the Son of God. Look at verse 34. I myself have seen, have testified that this is the Son of God. See how he is explaining who Jesus is. One by one, he is explaining what he believed about Christ. That's what we have to do in our testimonies. That's what we have to do in our preachings. The most people misunderstand the word Son of God. Do you agree with me? They interpret Jesus as inferior to God because Jesus is the Son of God. He is born of God. God created him. He is a small God. People think about that. Son means you are born of God. He is not God. But according to the Bible interpretation, those statements are absolutely wrong. There are three words in Greek for born baby. Generally, I don't want to give, but it is important how that word is used. Three words, Greek words used for born baby. The first word is brephos. It is used for the baby who is in the womb. The second word, technon, it is used for little born one, 0 to 2 years. It means the one that is recently born. The another word is nepios, at the age 2. So three words, Greek words used for born baby. But these three words never used for Jesus Christ. Something, another word used for Christ. Actually, the Son of God refers to position as an aid, not origin. He has one position, high position. The word son that is used in the word theos, theos. Now, theos in Greek is that one is an heir, right? You know that word. It is the one who receives the inheritance. That is the word for the son, which is used for Jesus Christ, which means that he is the heir of all things. That is the idea. You can adopt a person who is not your own child. You can make him an heir, right? You can give all rights to that child. It does not mean he is born to you, right? That idea here it is used. Jesus is called the Son of God. Jesus receives the inheritance of God. He is the heir of all things. All things is all creation, all creation. He, everything is belongs to him. Everything he owns, that is the idea how Son of God is used. When scripture says the Son of God, it is talking about Jesus has exact nature of God the Father. Why? Because Mark Gospel chapter 3 verse 17 says, James the son of Zebedee, the John, the brother of James. So one name is given for them, right? What is that name? Sons of thunders. So it means they're born to thunders, right? So they have nature of thunder, right? That is the idea. Sons of thunder means they did not born of thunders. They have nature of thunders. That's why sons of thunders is given to them. In the same way, Jesus is the Son of God. It does not mean biblically he born of God, but he has nature of God. He has exact nature of God. Jesus is omnipresent, source of life, omnipotent, omniscient, self-existent one, eternal one, immovable, perfect, unchangeable, holy, righteous, love, merciful, gracious. Whatever attributes nature God the Father has, he has, because he is the Son of God. He has all nature. The great truth is hidden in this verse. The people often say that Jesus is not God because of this word son. But biblically, it is something else. That's why, you know, whenever Jesus says, I am the Son of God, people hated more. Jewish people hated more. John Gospel 5 verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his Father. See, they understood very clearly. When Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God, he is making equal to God. He is saying, I have all nature of God the Father. John Gospel 10 verse 33. The Jews answered him, for a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you being a man, make yourself out to be a God. Because he is using, I am the Son of God. Chapter 10 verse 36. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God. Chapter 19 verse 7. Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law, he ought to die, because he made himself ought to be the Son of God. Jesus has to die because he said, I am the Son of God. That is blasphemy, according to the scripture. But they did not believe he is the Son of God, but he is Son of God. But many verses which prove that Jesus is God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Even Jesus, God the Father said about Jesus Christ. He said, but of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Even God the Father is calling God. God the Son. And did you see? The Son of God is God Himself. Whenever He calls God the Father, He indirectly saying that I am equal to you. If Jesus is calling Father, He is saying, you and me are same. That is the idea. Because of His greatness, John the Baptist said that, I am not worthy to untie the thong of His hand. John the Baptist got the full picture of Jesus Christ. That's why he is testifying. He is proclaiming about Christ. Brothers, you must know the exaltation of Jesus in John's word. He is the one who takes away your punishment. Don't think that he is a common man, but he was pre-existed. His origin did not start in Bethlehem. He is the one who baptizes in the Spirit. But don't think that he has existed before some years. He existed eternally. He is God Himself. Brother, summary of his testimony is, God, who existed before everything, has come as a Lamb of God to bear our sins. So that is the testimony about Jesus by John the Baptist. You remember same verse? Someone testified about Jesus? Paul, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, he says, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of one servant, being made in likeness of men, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So Lamb of God, he is referring, even death on a cross. Brothers and sisters, are you testifying Jesus like this? Are you testifying Jesus is Lamb of God who takes away people's sin? Are you testifying the greatness of Jesus? Are you proclaiming Jesus is true God, only true God? That is testimony. Not Buffalo is giving me, is not giving me, and leg pains and cold, I have headache, God healed me. Those things are not testimonies. If you are proclaiming about Christ, if you are explaining the characteristics of Christ, nature of Christ, that is testimony. Whenever you are proclaiming, whenever you are preaching, please keep in your mind, you need to exalt Jesus Christ. We need to teach our people to exalt Christ whenever they are speaking to men. Not like, I am getting this, you see. I bought car, I bought building. These things are not testimonies. Those things are like self-centered, boasting things. That means I got car, I got bangla. They are not exalting Christ, who He is. Your testimony should fill with content of Jesus Christ. The attributes of Jesus Christ. The greatness of Jesus Christ. That is called testimony. One day I went to Navatar. I don't know that is vegetarian hotel. I went there. Then I have seen menu. Then I have seen Hyderabad biryani. Then, Hyderabad biryani. I want to eat that. Because I did not eat Hyderabad biryani. So I ordered that. Then Hyderabad biryani has come. But I was searching, where is chicken? Chicken is not there. Just everything is that veg biryani he has given, but maybe it's Hyderabadi biryani. Then I was thinking, array, I came wrong place. Even though it is saying Hyderabad biryani, but there is no chicken in that. It is not Hyderabad biryani, but they are saying it is Hyderabad biryani. Why I am saying that? People are saying testimony about Jesus, but they are not proclaiming, they are not explaining about Jesus. It looks like testimony about Jesus. It is not testimony about Jesus. But look at real example. Testimony about Jesus is, example is found in life of John the Baptist. If you are saying I am proclaiming testimony of Jesus, you should proclaim his nature, his person. God may give us help. God may strengthen us to proclaim, to testify who Jesus is in our preaching to our people. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins, helping us to know true God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be a preachers and teachers, to proclaim, to testify our Lord and Savior. Lord, strengthen us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live for him, to build your church. I pray for these brothers. Every one of us, Lord, we need to honor our Lord and Master in our life. Thank you, Lord, for revealing truth, what is testimony. Help us, Lord, to obey your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.